L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Third hour, Dara Donica Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Our NFL game of the week. This week will be the Packers and the Colts. How about that? Coverage begins at 3 p.m., kickoff at 3:25, and our game of the week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. Let's say hello to forever Titan wide receiver Dwayne Sanders is indeed on the line with us. Dwayne, what's up?
Man, how you doing, man? First of all, I just want to start this whole thing off. I do not like y'all. I mean, I just don't.
That's Dwayne. See, yeah, we want angry Dwayne. We want angry Dwayne today.
He's upset, but actually he's in a good mood because, you know, I mean, we'll talk about it on Thursday, but he did do something special by picking an NFL game and getting 7 points, getting closer and closer to the victory.
Oh, I missed that one.
You didn't know that? I missed that too.
I was going to text you, but I was asleep, though, so I couldn't do it.
I was going to say, unless I usually get the alert. Wait a minute. Who was the 7 point? Who was
Patriots. Patriots over the
Rams. Oh, that's right.
Hey, and y'all laughed at me.
We did.
Remember those laughs? We did.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what else? Chris Sanders is no longer in fourth place.
Who's in third? Who's in
fourth?
Would that be
Charles McCabe? Is he in last? Is Charles in last?
Yeah.
I won't say who's in last, but his name rhymes with race.
Wow.
Hey, long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
Charles has been passed by Dwayne. Yikes. Boy, we're going to have fun on Thursday.
It's going to be on Thursday. You already know that.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't care. Chris, Dwayne, whoever you want to be, fun, happy, mad, angry. Let's go back to in your playing days and I'm going to have to unfortunately bring up the Ravens game in the playoffs. It was not a good day for Al Del Greco, as we know. I know. We love Al, but it was not a good day. What is that like as a player when your kicker who has one job, it's not a good day for, him at the office? What is that feeling like? And it cost you a game.
I mean, it's tough, you know, when Al Del Greco missed, I think he missed one and then he got one block. But you can't get mad at the kicker because we shouldn't have put him in that position. I know that kind of sounds like coach talk, but that's exactly what it is. If you look at overall in that game, we played terrible. I mean, we had 400 and some yards. They had like 80 yards, but we had three turnovers. And when you have three turnovers against a good defense like that, they're going to win, and that's exactly what happened with us. It wasn't just Al Del Greco's fault. It was my fault. I dropped passes. Ray Lewis gets a touchdown off a pick six. So those are the things that cost you games against a great team, and that's exactly what we're seeing against the Tennessee Titans now.
Okay, let's talk about the drop passes. So you just admitted you had some drop passes.
I did.
Okay, A.J. Brown is their number one receiver. He just is. A lot of people were starting to get really – and I get it. When he has those games and he looks fantastic, he has big games. You know, it starts up – is he an elite receiver in the league? I say let's pump the brakes a little bit on that elite receivers do it week in and week out, as you know. Easier said than done from somebody sitting on the couch like me. You're out there on Sundays. How difficult is it to do that week in and week out?
I mean, that's what separates guys from being good and being great. If you look at Jerry Rice, we never saw Jerry Rice drop balls. And we always talk about guys being in that elite status. And I think a little bit of pressure is getting on A.J. Brown because everybody's saying that. I mean, he's elite for the Tennessee Titans. Yes, he is. I mean, he makes plays. He's good run after the catch. But if you look at the team we played against, the Cincinnati Bengals, there's three receivers on the same team that have better stats than him. So.
Yeah.
And we got to put in that perspective. I think, and this is no disrespect, I just think in the last 5 or 6 years we haven't had that dominant, number one wide receiver. And then we have A.J. Brown come out and make, a couple of plays in the game. We're like, oh, hey, let's crown him. He's the best receiver to ever come in the league and all this stuff. Just let him play ball. Let him mature as an NFL wide receiver and don't put that pressure on that guy. Because if he starts having pressure, You're going to see missed passes. You're going to see missed assignments because the pressure is going to try to squeeze the life out of them.
Is it fair to say, since this franchise has been in this market, there's really never been an elite receiver?
Stop that, buddy. There's a guy named – no, I'm just kidding. It all depends on what you call elite. You know, for the Tennessee Titans, I think the best receiver to ever.
I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins. Chris,
oh, he's
what
a dog.
he did on Sunday is what
incredible.
We've seen his whole career, right?
Right.
I mean, I know not he doesn't just snag Hail Marys every week, but I mean DeAndre Hopkins. Everybody say DeAndre Hopkins elite. Everybody goes yes.
Oh, no doubt.
Right, but that we haven't had that type of guy here. Julio Jones in his prime,
right.
And Calvin Johnson. There's been no guy like that here. Is that fair to say?
Kind of. I think one guy I can probably say that, and he's one of my friends. I think it's Derek Mason.
Agreed, at least your team didn't ever treat him like he was elite.
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, because we had 2-7 toting the rock, you know, and it was just a different era right now.
Yeah.
Listen, we had some great receivers on our team. We had Kevin Dice, we had Yancey Thigpen, we had myself, and the reason why we weren't considered elite is because we didn't put up the numbers because our offense was in a different era at that time where, you know, 27 is going to tote the rock and we're going to catch the ball once in a while. Look at the offenses that you have in the NFL right now. It's a passing league. I mean, when you have a guy from the Saints, I can't remember his name, the wide receiver, he's getting like Michael Thomas, he's getting like 12 targets a game.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to get 3.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So does that make me not an elite receiver? But when I came in the league – I was, and I'm not bragging, I'm not trying to toot my horn or anything. I was averaging 23.5 yards a catch, and I led the league, but I only had 35 catches and nine touchdowns. So does that make me elite or it doesn't? But I'm making plays. So it all depends on are you elite for your team, and that's what A.J. Brown is.
So what you just told us is you would love to play in today's game.
What? Me and Kevin Dyson talk about this all the time. Okay, say this. Say if you had bad hands. I mean, you catch the ball with your elbows. Just imagine that. just imagine that. If you get 12 targets and you catch 5 a game, I mean.
That's 80 catches.
80 catches.
Yeah.
I mean, there's games where I would get maybe 3 targets a game. I bet I'm going to catch 2, but that's not going to add up to the numbers. So does that make me not a great receiver? Now you got A.J. Brown coming in, and he came in like gangbusters, and he got 1,000 yards. But there's a lot of receivers in the league that get 1,000 yards. When you start getting up to the 14 and 1,500 yards, then now you become elite, and that's the Hopkins and the guys that we're talking about.
Yeah, just to show you how difficult it is. And DK Metcalf is another guy, right? Everybody's
right.
been like, oh, DK Metcalf, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And what did Jalen Ramsey do to him last week?
Shut him down.
Yeah.
You know, it's being – let me just coach you guys up a little bit. You guys know this.
Coach us up, Chris.
Let's talk about what does
– We're coachable, Chris.
What does an elite receiver look like? An elite receiver is a guy who does it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. And he goes in there and he makes plays at the clutch moments. A.J. Brown has made some plays, but has he made a lot of plays in clutch moments? Look at DeAndre Hopkins, just like what you talked about, make plays in clutch moments. Who else a receiver? Derek Mason. I can say Derek Mason. He will make plays in clutch moments. That's an elite receiver to me, is a guy who, when the game is on the line, when I have to make a play, I'm going to make a play. That's elite to me, not just numbers.
Chris Sanders is with us. We're talking a little wide receiver shop here, which is good stuff. Just to illustrate your point, Chris, DeAndre Hopkins on the target, right? He's been targeted 88 times. He's always among the tops, and it's like the two go hand in hand. It's like the better you are, the more they are going to throw to you, but he does get a high volume of passes thrown his way, and he does a lot with it. A.J. Brown's been targeted only 52 times.
Right.
Of course, he did miss. Did he miss one game, I think earlier?
He missed 2.
He may have missed 2, but still, I think your point is well taken. He doesn't have the ball thrown to him. We've talked about this a lot, too, with Corey Davis. He doesn't get targeted that much. He's only got 48 targets this year, and, of course, he missed a couple of games, too.
Yeah, and the funny thing, I'm glad you brought up Corey Davis. Everybody was dogging him last year, and even myself. Oh, he's not catching the ball. He's not this. He doesn't put up the numbers. But you have to get targets. I mean, look at the first couple of games that he played when he came back off his injury. He caught like 2 crossing routes. Oh, Corey Davis is back. Oh, he's the number one wide receiver. And I'm like, would y'all stop it? I mean, a number one wide receiver number one, is going to get targets, and he's going to make plays at the right time. That's what I think an elite receiver is.
And we talked to the guy that has created Football Outsiders in the last hour, and they look at efficiency. And what's interesting is, based on, you can only be as efficient, like you said, Chris, if you only had three targets but you caught all three, that's as efficient as you could be.
Yeah.
So A.J. Brown and Corey Davis have been very efficient alongside of DeAndre Hopkins. It's just that Hopkins gets the ball thrown to him a lot more. So it's one way of looking at it for sure.
And let me give you another example, and I'm going to be quick. When Kevin Dyson and Randy Moss came in, right, two separate teams, when Kevin Dyson came with the Tennessee Oilers and / Tennessee Titans, same team, he wasn't getting a whole bunch of targets, but Randy Moss was. Now everybody's screaming and said, oh, they should have got Randy Moss and instead of Kevin Dyson. What if Randy Moss would have came to the Tennessee Titans and Kevin Dyson would have went to the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah.
Do you think he would have had the different numbers because of the
systems
type of
were different?
Yeah. Systems were different.
It would have been different. I don't know how different, but it would have been it definitely would have been different. That's a good point. All right, now I do want to ask you about the last play, because Chris, we remember, we're going to give you props. You could go up and high point the ball. That's the term. You could go up and get it on a long pass.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever seen a guy do what Hopkins did on that last play, where he had three guys around him? I've never seen a guy snatch one with six arms going after him, and he caught it so clean. He didn't have to wrestle it away. He just went up and snatched it. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yes, I did. I think it was maybe about 2 or 3 years ago when the Green Bay Packers were on Monday night, I think.
Yep.
And what was I can't remember the receiver's name.
You're talking about Green Bay in Seattle?
Green Bay in Seattle. When he went up and snatched it. Not the one where it fell on him. It was another one where he went high up and grabbed it. Can y'all remember that one?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, but it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I just can't remember the receiver's name, but yeah, I saw him go up and get it. But then there's another guy in 1995, then they played against the Kansas City Chiefs. Instead of six arms, there was maybe five arms around it, and he went up and got it. It was number 81, Chris Sanders.
I'm going to give you props. You could do it. There's no question. The vertical was there.
It was a little bit.
What about the throw by Kyler Murray, too? Running towards the sideline, he's going against the grain, throws it back, and he throws it 55 yards. That was impressive, too.
It really was, but the one thing I just love about the whole play is just his will to just get the ball off. I mean, people don't understand how hard a throw that is. I mean, he's running and scrambling, and then he's running to the left, and then he just throws the ball hard as he can to throw it up to where Hopkins can make a play. I mean, I just love the kid's grittiness. I just love his heart, and I just love his passion to say, you know, whatever it takes – to get my receiver the ball, that's what I'm going to do. And it just, that's why this kid is so special, and I just can't wait to watch him more and more.
Were you talking about the Monday Night Football game?
It was a Thursday night game
in
Detroit.
Oh, so this was not the one where the replacement refs.
No, not that one.
The Golden Tate game. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember Richard Rodgers.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he throws it up, and I can't remember. I think it was number 80. I can't remember. But he jumped up and just grabbed it from everybody and Rodgers is running down the field going crazy.
Okay, that was the Lions.
That was against the Lions. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he went up and got that thing. That was one of the ones that was really impressive.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, is here with us. So I want to ask, because I think you and I have had this discussion before, whether it's on or off the air, but we all know that there's a lot of noise when you do what you do, when you play. And there's a lot of noise right now with the Titans in defense. Oh, they don't have a pass rush. Oh, their secondary's not very good. And you can't for a second tell me that these guys, they don't hear it. They don't see it. They're all, you know, they're on Twitter. But what do you do with it? How do you use it to your advantage? And how do you try, I guess, to block it out the best that you can?
You know, we when I first got in the NFL, 1995 till 1998, until we moved into the stadium, that's all we heard. We didn't have a defense. We don't have an offense. Steve Vannier can't read coverages. Eddie George is going to wear down. We heard all these things. But the one thing we did is on Monday when we showed up to practice, we just worked. And I know that sounds cliche-ish or coach talk, but that's all we did is, you know, Eddie George had to believe in me. I had to believe in Eddie George. Steve had to believe in Eddie. He had to believe in the offensive line, Bruce Matthews, Brad Hopkins, guys that just loved each other in the locker room. And that's how we overcame all that noise. We had noise the whole the whole time I was in the NFL, even when we moved into our stadium, oh, they Steve McNair can't do this, and you know Eddie George is going to wear that. All this noise that we heard, but what we did is on Monday we grinded, on Tuesday we watch film, on Wednesday we grind, on Thursday we grind, and then on Sunday we show up and play the game, and that's all you can do. And it starts with the leadership of Mike Vrabel, and that's exactly what Mike Vrabel is doing. Is I'm not going to make an excuse for our defense. I'm not going to make excuses for our special teams. I'm not going to make excuses if we don't have a certain people in there. We're going to go, we're going to grind, and we're going to eliminate the noise and say, you know what, we're going to play balls between these hashes, and that's how you handle it.
Do you think this team has a confidence problem?
No, I don't think they have a confidence problem. I think on defense they have a personnel problem, and I'm being fair when I say that. And the personnel problem is I think the secondary. You got a lot of secondary guys playing in the back end, the corners and safeties, but you don't have a lot of speed. I mean, each week you're going against I'm not saying elite receivers, but you're going against receivers that have a lot of speed. And, yeah, we can cover intermediate routes and the slants and the corners and the digs, but you can't cover the post and the nine routes and the fades. That's going to be a problem because offensive coordinators are going to see, okay, Butler doesn't have the speed. Adore's not out there. You got guys that are coming from different teams and they're not working in unison. I'm going to take advantage of that.
How much do you think that Desmond King has helped in his 2 weeks that he's been here?
I mean, he's been okay. I know the first game he came, he a scoop and score. That's great. But when you start playing these teams where he's going to have to cover, I think we're going to see if this is a good pickup or not. I mean, I really haven't seen him that much. I went back and looked at some video of him in San Diego. He's one of those guys that's kind of like Logan that's going to blitz, you know, in the boundary and put pressure on the quarterback. But I haven't seen him really cover anybody because in 2017, I think, he had zero interceptions. I think in 2018, he had three. 2019, he had one. So I don't know if this guy can cover. I know he can blitz. I know he's physical. But I want to see if he can cover those tight ends and those receivers.
Chris/Dwayne, we really enjoyed the visit. Thank
man,
you
I love
so
you guys,
much.
Man. Oh, man, you guys are awesome, man. Thank you.
Group hug on three. Ready? Break. Good stuff. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Let you gloat.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver. Good stuff from him, as always. I told you I'd been talking to people about Theo Epstein. We'll tell you what he's up to because Bob Nightingale has tweeted out what he may be up to. But we're also going to come back and have our top 10 list, okay? We are going to go on the premise that Kansas City and Pittsburgh are the two best teams in the league, okay? We're going on that, and then we're going to do 3 through 10 today. What does it look like? We will unveil our list. How close are we? How not close are we? Are the Titans in that top 10 list? Well, Chase has kind of already let the cat out of the bag on his list earlier, but he has admitted to us privately that he's been making a lot of changes. During the course of the show, has he slid them back up into his top 10? I don't know. We'll do that on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to you about Week 10 of football is in the books now, officially. That book is closed with the Bears' pathetic performance last night against the Vikings, and now it's time to focus on Week 11. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You need to add the excitement of Week 11 by going to the DraftKings Sportsbook, and they're going to give you that can't-miss offer. Yes, it's going to be back there at DraftKings Sportsbook. All you need to do is go to the App Store, download it. It's free and easy to do, and they're going to give all new users a chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you sign up and use the promo code 1025GAME. That's DraftKings Sportsbook. Endless ways for you to bet, from the live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Don't worry. Football isn't for you. DraftKings is going to give all MMA fans a chance to sign up now and a chance to triple your winnings with any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. You can download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That code, 1025THEGAME, and get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. had a little fun earlier in the show and said, my sources have told me with the news that Theo Epstein is resigning from the Cubs because he's coming to Nashville to bring MLB to Nashville, to bring a World Series to Nashville, to help this group get an MLB franchise. Of course, I said I was more wishful thinking, and I said, if that did happen, tell you what, it would be enough of speculating on whether this is true or not. It was going to happen. Well, Bob Nightingale, in the last hour, tweeted out, Theo Epstein plans to take a year off, and then he could emerge with an ownership group or even a potential expansion franchise like Nashville if he stays in baseball. If he stays in baseball, what else is he going to do? If he stays in baseball.
Well, there have been some people in Chicago, including Michael Wilbon, that have said, we want him to run the Bears.
Well, they need help.
They do need some help, so it's not a bad idea. I mean, what the heck? But I was telling you guys earlier, Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark wrote an article, and I was interested because the Mets now have new ownership. Guy's got very, very deep pockets. He wants to make it happen. He's a lifelong Mets fan. Sandy Alderson is back at the helm. He wants to hire a GM baseball executive like a Theo Epstein. So it talks a lot about Epstein in this article. But they wrote this as well. So Bob Nightingale mentioned Nashville, which is really intriguing. But I'm trying to find the part of this article here. But they speculated that he might want to get into ownership. So I got to admit, I did think of the Nashville group that he wants to join as part owner, right? So you're not, you have a stake in the game, not just working for people, but you're actually running, you're actually in charge of running. So, you know, he's only 47 years old, or he hasn't even turned 47. He turns 47 December 29th. So he's got a long way to go. Like you said, Darren, I don't think he's going to go into some other line of work. I think he's going to get back into baseball at some point.
Wouldn't it be something? And if it's here, I think it'll be. If that happens, as I said before, we can stop wondering if this is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's now to start asking the questions. All right, how, when, where? You know, let's just start asking all the questions. Let's get details because it's going to happen. Well, you just can't keep adding these type of baseball people to a group and it doesn't happen.
But what's funny is, and I think we've sensed part of this from the beginning. Remember, I don't know how many years ago it was when Rob Manfred mentioned Nashville and Buster Olney was mentioned Nashville. We were like,
yep.
Everybody from the outside's mentioned Nashville. Nobody in Nashville is mentioning Nashville, right? Like, it seems like these outside forces want it to happen more than the actual city itself. That's what's got to change. I think you've got a year for. I think Theo Epstein wants to take a year off, right? So you've got a year basically to make enough progress to where you could really make a pitch at him, right? If you had a ballpark plan in place in a year, and remember, if you just had enough of it in place to say, yeah, we're going to build a park, I think we all agree that if you could commit to building a park, the odds of you're getting a team are really, really good eventually.
High.
Very high.
Very high. Eventually, maybe not tomorrow, but if you started working on a park and it's being built, I believe if you build it, somebody will come, whether it's a moving franchise or an expansion franchise.
I don't know if that if you build it, they will come works in every market, but I think it definitely works in this one.
Agreed.
Nashville is just way too attractive for, you know, I mean, you got NASCAR that's coming here, the NFL's been here, the NHL, MLS just got here. There's an NBA franchise that in Canada that was looking to potentially play here.
Is looking to potentially play here.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think if this group comes to the city and the city, you know, actually listens and wakes up and goes, oh, okay, well, I guess this would be a good deal for us. This would bring in more money to the city. Sure, yeah, there's some land. I mean, that's really what it is. It's they got to figure the land out. They figure the land out, then I feel like it all comes together. But
sources, Mets have requested permission to speak with Indians GM Mike Chernoff, who is also for this position that we're talking about, baseball operations, the president of baseball operations, which is interesting because there's a lot of rumors out there that the Mets are also seeking the services of one Francisco Lindor.
Yes, and Mike Chernoff, it's interesting to note, and this is from the article that I mentioned before that our buddy Jason Stark wrote with Ken Rosenthal. Mike Chernoff's dad, Mark Chernoff, is the senior vice president of Intercom, who oversees WFAN radio in New York. So can you imagine Mike being the general manager of the Mets, who, of course, you're certainly ripe for plenty of criticism, getting ripped by his dad and the people his dad employs on WFAN. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But Chernoff grew up, I guess Chernoff is a New York, he's a native of New Jersey, I guess. He went to Princeton, but he grew up in New Jersey, just outside of New York. And so he has a lot of ties to the area. So it's a logical guy that you might go after. But the Indians, what's happening a lot is people are holding on close to their executives, right? So do the Indians want to try to promote Mike Chernoff and keep him from going, or not give the Mets permission to talk? You could do that too. If he's under contract, you don't have to give permission for him to go talk to the Mets.
Yeah. All right. Let's that would pass that stuff along. That was definitely newsworthy. All right. Let's play our little game. Kansas City and Pittsburgh, we have agreed. This group has agreed to lock that in and say, in no particular order, those are the two best teams in football. And I actually believe that.
I agree.
I will respectfully disagree with Aaron Schatz, who says New Orleans and Tampa are the two best teams in the game. But still, it's, you know, you're splitting hairs, but I think Kansas City and Pittsburgh are legit. People question Pittsburgh. I don't know why. What do you question about Pittsburgh? They do everything good.
Well Pittsburgh,
what's their big weakness? I guess running game is their big weakness. They don't have a superior running game, but obviously they can sling the ball all over the place. Their defense is superior. Special teams is fine. I mean, what's their big – coaching's great. What's their big weakness?
I don't think they have a big weakness.
Right. So,
but neither do these other teams. I you know, it's interesting. It's not a huge separation between Pittsburgh, Kansas City, then New Orleans and Tampa Bay. Would we all say that those are the top four? Even if you don't agree 1, 2, 3, 4, those are clearly the top four at this point.
Well, I don't know.
Agree?
We're not there yet.
No?
No. All right, let's start. Willie, I'm going to start with you on number 10. We're going to work our way up the board. Who did you have at number 10?
Oh, you're going all the way down. You want to start down?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
don't you want to? Okay, that's fine.
Because
You're right. That's a good point. Okay, let's start at three.
I thought there were five that were pretty easy. That was my cutoff. The first five were easy for me.
Okay. Yeah,
and okay, so we grant you the KC and Pitt we already have in their own category at 1 and 2 for our purposes.
Who do you got at 3?
Well, 3 and 4 are New Orleans and Tampa Bay.
I didn't ask for 4. Who's 3?
New Orleans, by far.
Okay, I do not have New Orleans 3. Chase?
I went with the Saints 3.
You went with the Saints 3?
Yep.
It's not even close.
I disagree. I asked today. Today,
and you're, so I you're factored
in the
Brady.
I factored in the injury. How could you not factor in the injury? You have no idea if Drew Brees is going to come back.
No, I think we have an idea.
I asked. Well,
he'll
yes, but okay. What if it's 5 weeks from now? I mean, he's got 5 broken ribs and a punctured lung. He's not going to be out a week. I mean, I asked today, what is your rankings? And I factored in Drew Brees, which I had to slide New Orleans down. I mean, there's no way I can have New Orleans 3 with Drew Brees out. We have no idea what Hill and Winston will look like. They may not miss a beat, but I need to see it first. So they're not 3 in my book. I actually went with Green Bay. I'm going with the proven guy in Aaron Rodgers. I think, look, I'm factoring in. You guys know that I do a lot of things, you know, with emotion. And Aaron Rodgers, there is no bigger motivation than what the Packers did to him this offseason, right? They basically went, yeah, we love you, but here's Jordan Love, and here's Dylan, a running back. Aaron, they've got Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers, and they drafted a freaking quarterback and a running back who have factored into nothing this year. Nothing. And yet the Packers are right where they were last year. And I just think that they can get it done on offense. Their defense isn't superior. It's good enough. I think the Packers, with that motivation, they're number three. So you guys both went New Orleans.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Number four.
Tampa Bay. I'm admitting fully that I goofed on them. I did not realize how good their defense is. And they have protected Tom Brady. The two biggest questions I had, I just didn't think the defense would be as elite as it is. I knew it was good. But they've
it was
turned
good
into
last
it,
year.
They are arguably it was very good last year. But yeah. They're even better. They are maybe number one this year. And they're protecting Tom Brady better than I thought. And so I've just in the past thought that when you go out and grab a lot of new pieces that have been great in other places and try to stick them together, it hasn't worked very well. See Eagles dream team, right? There's been teams that have tried that in a lot of sports. It doesn't always work, but it's working for Tampa. I was wrong about them. I am going them at number two.
Number four. Okay. Chase?
which is number four.
Yes. I went with the Green Bay Packers at number four.
Okay.
For, a lot of the same reasons that you pointed out, but and this was the first test that I really had was between New Orleans and Green Bay. I struggled with that. I ultimately just went with the Saints, but if we do this again next week, I think there's a very good chance that I'm flopping those two.
Okay. I went with Tampa at number four.
Okay.
So what I've been saying, I think they've obviously, you add Antonio Brown, they've got weapons galore on offense. They can score at will, and their defense, I've been saying it all season. Just watch White and David. Those two linebackers are ridiculous. Oh, and you've got some guy named Sue and their defense, which was very, very good. Number one against the run most all of last year. We knew their defense was good, so I've got Tampa at four. Number five, Chase.
Number five, that's where I went with Tampa. So I think that maybe our order's a little different, but we pretty much have the same.
Looks like we got the same teams.
I've
got New Orleans at five just because, like I said, I slid them down my board because I don't know what life without Drew Brees is going to look like. I need to see it. What is Winston? And who are they going with? Is it Hill? Is it Winston? Is it both? I don't know what they're going to do. I need to see it first. And I know they're talented. But I don't know what this is going to look like without Drew Brees, so I've got New Orleans at five.
Well, and I think seeing how much has Winston grown, working behind Brees.
Does he look like under Peyton?
Yeah.
Is he a new man? Is it the same old, right? We know he can pass. He can sling it around. But we also know that he can throw 30 picks in a season.
Yeah, because, it's not like he was with a chump of a coach last year.
No, and he put up monster numbers, but he also put up monster picks.
Right.
He's reckless. So New Orleans at five. Willie, who'd you have at five?
Five, I have Baltimore.
You have Baltimore at five?
Yes.
Wow. Please explain.
Well, I think they'll get through it. I know you're saying today, but I'm still projecting of who I think are the best teams. And as you heard Gary Stein said, I looked at the remaining schedule, and I think if they can get through these next two or three games, they have a very easy schedule down the stretch.
I know, but
I think they're
going to make
it.
I didn't ask you to project. I asked you to give me your top 10 today. That was the whole point.
I think they are the fifth best team in the league today.
Wow. Okay.
I'm taking who I think are the best teams. I'm not saying the Minnesota Vikings are playing really well, but I don't think they're one of the top 10 teams in the league right now. You got to have a blend of what we think they are overall, not just based on your last game. So that's why I'm taking Baltimore.
It's not over your
so
last
you don't
game.
Have Green
it's,
Bay.
It's your body of work over 10 games. it's not your last game.
I think Baltimore is still an elite team.
Okay.
So you don't have Green Bay in your top five.
You don't have Green Bay in your top five.
Yes, I do. Well,
where's Green Bay?
Well, I have – top five is top seven, so I have them at number seven. I took the two teams you told me to leave off the list off the list. So well, this is number still, Baltimore's number three for me.
We're starting at three.
Okay, so Green Bay is number seven.
Wow.
Okay.
Green Bay is number seven.
Okay.
They can't stop anybody. They almost lost to Jacksonville, and they got whipped at home by the Vikings 2 weeks ago. So they got some problems. They have Aaron Rodgers, but the rest of their team's got some question marks.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you could say Tampa just got whipped and embarrassed by the Saints 2 weeks ago too.
But the Saints are a lot better than the Jaguars.
And by the way, at home, 38-3. I mean, that's NFL. That's as good as 50-0 in college. I mean, that was
bounced back okay last week.
Yeah, sure did. All right, number six.
Yeah, number six. That's where I put Baltimore. I couldn't put them in the top five. I still think that they're a pretty good team. Now this week is going to be a test. I mean, if they lose to the Titans, then as you said earlier, Darren, I think they're going to tumble. But they got weapons. They have the reigning MVP. It's just, can they clean up some of the little things that have bit them lately, like we saw Sunday night? But for now, I still have them at six.
Okay, so Willie has Baltimore at five. You have them at six. I do not have them at six. Willie, who do you have at six?
I have the Colts at six.
You have the Colts at six?
Yes.
Okay, tell us more.
Well, they have...
Why are the Colts at six?
They have an elite defense. They just waxed the Titans. I think you got to give them full marks. They have excellent special teams. Their offense doesn't have to be great. I think that's still their weakness for sure. That's still their biggest question mark. But I think when you can play D the way they play every week, I got them up there. I've got them slightly ahead of Green Bay.
Wow. Okay. I went with Buffalo at six. I think Buffalo is really good. They should be 8-2, not 7-3. But I get it. They lost on a Hail Mary, but they should have won. They should have been 8-2. Josh Allen is having a huge year offensively. Diggs has been the right move going out and getting in the offseason. He is a big-time receiver, big-time threat. They can score it well. Their running game leaves a lot to be desired. Devin Singletary has been a huge disappointment this year. Their defense is really good, and I think they're well-coached. So I had Buffalo at number six. I think they will win that division. They will be a playoff team, and right now they have just as many – I think they're just as good as anybody else. I mean, like I said, they lack the running game. And other than that, I think they're a complete team. By the way, their kicker, I think, had three field goals over 50 this past week against Arizona.
Are you ready to lock it in that they win that division?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to lock it in.
I agree on Sean McDermott. I don't think he gets enough credit.
They're a well-coached team. So I've got Buffalo at six. All right, number seven.
I've already said mine. It's Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Mine's Buffalo.
And this is where I made the cutoff. I think the first five to me that we did, so our overall top seven, that's where I draw the line. I think there's a big difference between the top seven and then the next five we're about to name, because that's where I really had trouble ranking after
that.
Apparently
I cruised
through that.
Because we have differing teams, so apparently it wasn't.
Well, I'm just telling you how I felt, and so I'm a little surprised to hear a couple of the teams you guys have mentioned, but I think you're going to be surprised. Who do you have at seven, Chase?
I have Buffalo. That's where I put the Bills.
Wow. So obviously I don't have Buffalo as high as you guys have.
I'll
get to Buffalo.
And I have been one of those that, keep doing it. I'll give you credit eventually. Now I'm kind of getting to that point on Buffalo because it's the Bills. They're the Bills. You know, it's still they've shown us in the past that, they've gotten
to the playoffs two out of the 3 years.
They have.
They're not the Bills of 20 years prior to the last 3 years.
And I agree that I'm not going to lock them in to win this division yet because I'll get to another team. Okay. But I think they probably do.
So you guys do not – neither of you have the Colts in the top seven.
No.
Interesting.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. So that's the one team we disagree on. The Colts and the Bills we have differing views on. You two lean Bills, I lean Colts. Okay?
No chance I have the Colts there. My 7 team was the LA Rams.
Okay.
Once again, well coached, their defense, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, I don't need to say any more. You know, I don't love Jared Goff, but because you've got the boy wonder at coach, he masks a lot of problems. He makes them look pretty good, although I did see Whitworth, I think his loss for the season. That's a huge blow on their offensive line. I think the Rams are pretty darn good, and I had them at 7.
So you do not have Baltimore in the top 7?
Nope.
Okay.
I do not.
So
I have Baltimore.
You take the Rams over
Baltimore at 8. I would.
Okay.
I would take the Rams over the Ravens.
All right. There's another one we differ on.
I have the Ravens at 8.
I go with the Seahawks at 8. And it's the same reason you guys have Green Bay, or Darren has Green Bay as high as he does. And that is, when you have one of the 5 best players in the game, I have confidence that he will overcome the other big issues that they have. And they have very good special teams. So they have one problem, and it's a big problem. It's defense, which they have major problems. But their offense is so good. You've got the quarterback. That's why I still slide them up at 8, and it's not by much. I think there's distance between 7 and 8. But I still go Seahawks.
Okay.
Chase?
I went with the Cardinals. Arizona, and it doesn't have anything to do with the recency bias of beating the Bills on a Hail Mary. They were in a tough game against Miami. They've won, they're 4-1 in their last 5. I think DeAndre Hopkins has been a huge addition to that team, and I think they're well coached, and I was surprised by that. I wasn't sure how Kingsbury was going to work, but so far with Kyler Murray and company, I think that's a team that has taken some huge steps, so that's why I put him at 8.
I don't know if I'm ready to deem Cliff Kingsbury well coached, but I think they're extremely talented. I think they're doing it maybe in spite of him. I've got the Ravens at 8. I just think they've got huge problems. Like I said, if they lose this game to the Titans, obviously they drop out of the top 10 next week. I mean, they tumble out of here. I mean, going 6-4 at this point, you're in big trouble, and they've got problems. I mean, Gary Stein laid it out. And by the way, I did my list before today's show. I didn't change anything. I said, I'm locking it in. I did it this morning, and I said, I'm locking it in, and nothing throughout the course of the show is going to change my mind. And so I had them at 8 before. Gary's pointed out all their – I mean, I've watched them closely here late, and they got issues. They are not clean and pretty as they were last year. They got problems. They're not running the football like they were last year. They do not have the weapons on the outside like they did last year. Their tight end, who was a stud last year, he's good. He's not been the stud level that he was last year. And their defense has got issues with bodies coming in and out of the lineup, and it's not as dominating as it was. So I've got Baltimore at 8.
They end the season with Cowboys at Browns, Jaguars, Giants at Bengals. So I think they're still going to be in the mix when it's all said
and done. Well, we can do this every week, and I'll do that accordingly. But I was doing this based on today, not the next 6 weeks. Okay, number 9.
Who do you want? Who do you want to start? I'm ready.
Chase, what do you got at 9?
I am going with the Miami Dolphins. They have they're 3-0 under Tua, but They've won 5 in a row, I think it is, overall. I mean, they have found a way to win some games. Now, as I said earlier, I'm still leaning at Buffalo winning that division. Not going to lock it in just yet. But Miami's been fun, and Miami has overcome a lot with all the moves that they made, and then in a short amount of time have really turned things around. I think it's a pretty decent team. Now, what is it going to mean, you know? What is it going to mean in January? Are they going to be able to hold this out, you know, to keep this up and get to January football? Still early, but I have them at 9.
I also have the Dolphins at 9, which means I have them higher than the Bills. Their next 3 games, at Denver, very winnable. At Jets, yep. What more needs to be said? Ravens at home, Those are the next three.
That's not true. Jets.
I'm sorry, Bengals
Broncos,
at home.
Broncos, Jets, Bengals.
That's right. At Broncos, at Jets, Bengals at home. What did I say, Ravens? I don't know.
You said Ravens.
I don't know why I said Ravens. I'm looking right at it. There's a big tiger stripes and the word Bengals, and I somehow said Ravens. So my point is.
Easy to get those two confused.
Well, yeah. My point is the next three are very winnable. If they don't win two out of three, I'd be surprised. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they won all three and are sitting at 9-3. Would anybody be stunned if they win at Denver, beat the Jets, and beat the Bengals?
And if we do this every week, I'm sure they will move up the boards because of that. But right now, you guys, so you have them at 9. So, Chase, you have them at 9.
Yep. Willie has them at 9.
Willie has them at 9. I have Seattle at 9. I don't love Seattle. Their defense is extremely weak. You can score at will on them. Their running game is not good. They've got weapons at receiver. They've got that beast named Metcalf, and they have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Russell Wilson. And that's really why I put them at 9. This is a very flawed team. It's got warts, but it's got, like I said, a future Hall of Famer at quarterback, and he makes sure to distribute it to his weapons that he uses effectively. They don't have a good running game. They do enough to protect him, but he's also very smart, and so he makes the offensive line look a little bit better. I like them. I don't love them, but I still got them at 9.
Yeah, I don't love Seattle either.
And maybe they'll get some of these bodies back, and they'll get a little bit – they'll get better on defense, maybe, down the stretch. But they're a flawed team, but I still have them at 9. All right, number 10, Willie.
I got the Titans at 10.
Titans at 10. Why?
I just think they'll come out of it. I think they are one of the 10 best teams in the league. I think they got big issues like all of these teams do. But I have confidence that their elite offense, it's a lot of what my argument is with the Seahawks, is when you have a really strong suit, it can mask other problems. It has to this point to get them to 6-3. And I just have confidence that they'll fix the other parts enough. And
okay.
So I take them at 10.
So you've got the Titans at 10. Chase.
I struggled with number 10. Mm-hmm. I struggled mightily with number 10. But then I looked, I was like, you know what? This is a team that nobody's really talking about. They have a pretty big win that is the only blemish for another team. So I went with the Raiders. I think that, you know, now they got to do it again. They play Kansas City again this week.
You know what nobody's talking about? Their defense.
I know.
Their defense is getting it done right now.
Their defense
has become all of a sudden very stingy.
And they're just one of those teams that, you know, no one really blows you away, but you go and you look through their schedule and the teams that they played, and, you know, yeah, they ran into a buzzsaw that's Tampa, but like I said, they beat Kansas City. They came very close to beating Buffalo, lost earlier in the year to New England, but then have won their last three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, beat the Saints. They're a solid team.
I considered them, but I am not a believer yet.
Okay. I went with Arizona. And I look, 9 and 10 were really tough, and we're gonna get into this to kind of wrap it up. But I just – Arizona, you know, and obviously one of them is going to fall out because Seattle and Arizona play each other on Thursday. They've got tons of weapons. Kyler Murray is – man, he is such a rising star. He is so much fun to watch. He's so fast. Man, he just runs around. It's hard to keep up with him. They've got weapons. They can run the ball. Kenyon Drake came back. He ran for over 100 yards. Their defense, I think, maybe starting to get some guys back. I know that they've been battling some injuries. Buda Baker, man, that guy, I know he got paid, and he's what, the highest – is he the – highest paid safety in the game now? with that contract? I don't know. He got a very lucrative deal. Buda Baker is really, really good. He is fun to watch on defense. They've got players back there. I think they can do just enough. So I had him at 10. And so there you go. I had Green Bay, Tampa, New Orleans, Buffalo, the Rams, Baltimore, Seattle, and Arizona, which means I didn't have anybody in the AFC South. I did not have Indy or the Titans in my top 10.
I'm shocked that we didn't have anybody from the NFC East either.
I know.
Yeah, there was a division I took a
didn't
quick
even make
glance
the list.
And
yeah.
moved past and said, okay, I'm done with those guys. You know, I had trouble. So, Darren, you sour on the AFC South. I had trouble separating, and therefore, other than the Seahawks, I gave them number 8. But the Rams, Arizona, and the Seahawks, that trio of teams, the Rams and Arizona play each other twice. So they're going to beat each other up.
There's no question.
The Seahawks are going to play those teams each once as well. So that's a tricky group.
It's a tough
division. Who's coming through in that division?
Look, we keep the sheet. We will do this every week because this is the fun part. Colts play the Packers. Titans play the Ravens. Titans win. Colts win. Guess what? Guess who will be in the top 10 next week with those wins?
Right.
Everything shuffles. Right? Baltimore or Seattle and Arizona are going to play each other. I've got them 9 and 10. Well, somebody's falling out. So this is going to be very, very fluid, and it'll be fun to do this the rest of the way because I heavily considered the Dolphins. I heavily considered the Ravens. I obviously had the Titans and the Colts on the list. I had the Browns on the list. These are all teams that I left out that are right there. I mean, they're right there. By the way, the Browns and the Titans are going to play each other. So, mm-hmm. I mean
– yep.
I struggled not having the Rams in there. I would say the Rams are probably the first team out.
Yeah, I have Buffalo, the Rams, Arizona, Las Vegas as the next four that
are
not
in
the top 10.
Quickly, Elijah made his list too. Elijah, give us 3 through 10 on your list.
All right, 3 through 10, I went with the Saints because I feel like they're still going to be fine at the quarterback position just because of how that offense is engineered and the pass rush is just way too good. Buccaneers at 4, Packers 5, a little higher on the Cardinals. Got Cardinals 6, Bills 7, and of course those two teams are a Hail Mary away from being away from each other. 8 Ravens, 9 Seahawks, and because of the result from Thursday night, 10 Colts, Titans 11.
So you've got the Colts. So who did you have? You did not have the Ravens in there?
Ravens at 8.
Ravens. Okay, you had the Ravens at 8 like me.
I excluded the Rams, Dolphins, and Raiders in that order.
Did you have Seattle in there?
Yes, at 9. Still have faith in that offense. I still think they're a better team than the Rams. I think when they play in Seattle, Seattle should win pretty
easily. We had a lot of the same. I had Tampa at 4. I had Baltimore at 8. We had a lot of the same. Seattle at 9. We had a lot of the same. Interesting.
Okay. We said the NFC West was going to be fun, and so far it has been.
Yep. But, I mean, I had the Dolphins and the Browns and the Colts and the Titans and the Raiders all there, and it's – subject to change, but it was all based on today. That's the way I view it today. We'll do it again next week and see what shuffles save these results. Put on their week. So this would be week 11.
Yep.
Okay, so going into week 11, save this, and we'll see how different they look next week. Chase, you've got a word about some folks that I want you to tell everybody about because you had a lot of fun this weekend, and then we'll head over to West End and talk to Derek Mason to start the final hour.
I did. I have 1,000 reasons why you need to talk to my friends at BetMGM. They are the king of sportsbooks. I had a very good weekend. I hit a 5-team parlay for over $1,000, and you can do that too. It is that simple. All you have to do is sign up, and they're making it easy for new customers right now to make their first bet risk-free up to $500 when you use the bonus code 1025GAME. You can bet with confidence day in and day out just like I did. I use their innovative parlay selection tools. That's how I built that 5-teamer. They have daily boosted odds specials and much more. It's always showtime on the BetMGM. Let's try this again. Always showtime on the BetMGM app. From the same people that bring you the most exciting sports books and casinos on the Las Vegas Strip at BetMGM, you're always just one click away from your victory dance. And I want to see your victory dance like I had Saturday night. Download the app today or go to betmgm.com. Use the bonus code 1025GAME to get back up to $500 in free bets on your first wager. It's time to turn big plays into paydays at BetMGM, official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older, must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.